This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures off the Board of Trade from Christmas Eve last Thursday, as there's no trading on Friday, Christmas Day. Those grain futures across the board were higher at the early close Christmas Eve, with corn for March up by 3.25 at 450.5, May corn up 2.75, 451, July corn up 2, 449.75. Beans also higher, January up 4.75, 1263.5, March beans up 4.75 as well, 1264.75, May beans 3.75 cents higher, 1262.5. Wheat in Chicago, on the other hand, was down by 2 cents, 627.75. May wheat up a quarter, 628. July wheat steady at 617. Oats for March down by 1.25 at 335. May oats down 0.75 cents, 333.25. July oats down 0.5, 330.75. Soybean meal on Christmas Eve, Thursday of last week, had January down 440 at 416.80. March down 510. 413.90, and soybean oil last Thursday for January was 44 cents higher, 41.79, with March bean oil sitting at 41.09, up 48 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon of thoughts of positive export demand. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 cents, 417 to 449. Soybean bids are 12 to 15 cents higher, 1209 to 1247. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 7 cents at 429 to 457. Soybean bids are 12 to 14 cents higher, 1236 to 1265. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 4 to 6 cents at 437 to 480. Soybean bids are 12 cents higher, 1246. To $12.95. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 12 cents higher, $12.59 to $12.79. Basis is unchanged at option to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $4.19.20 to $4.31.20 a ton, up $6.20 a ton, with basis steady at 2 under to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids are 4 cents higher at $4.47 to $4.72. With basis steady at option to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to produce the corn bids up 5 to 7 cents at 458 to 463, with basis up 1 to 3 at 11 over to 16 over the March. Soybeans ended up 12 to 16 cents at 1267 to 1269, with basis steady to up 4 at 8 over to 10 over the March. East St. Louis barge loading Tome Placer producer corn bids up 5 to 6 cents, 484 to 487. These elevators raise their soybean prices 10 to 13 cents. Quotations at 12.95 to 12.96. Soft wheat closed up 13 cents. It's up 6.59 to 6.60. Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 5.17 to 5.22. And contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 4.19 to 4.49. Soybeans at 12.09 to 12.48. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 427 to 455, soybeans at 1243 to 1279. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 437 to 480, soybeans at 1246 to 1295. That includes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from last Thursday, Christmas Eve. Live and feeder cattle were higher, with hogs mostly lower, with the exception of the May contract in hogs. Taking a look at those numbers, live cattle for December on Thursday of last week were 22 cents higher at 112.15. February live cattle 114.97, up 25. April live cattle 118.97, up 27. Feeder cattle for January 140.92, up 65 cents. March feeders 142.32, up 37. April feeders 143.92, up 17. Finally, those hogs, February 66.95, down 90. April hogs 71.10, down 20. And those May feeders up 2 cents at 76.02 on Thursday of last week. And just to remind you, grain and livestock futures will be trading normally today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and will be trading and closing early on Thursday and will be off on Friday for the New Year's holiday, similar to last week. Now we'll take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture here on this Monday morning for last Thursday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 88 cents lower, in a range of $44 to $52 with a weighted average carcass price of $50.44. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were steady with moderate to good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $20 to $25, 4 to 5 weighted $24 to $28, 5 to 6 weighted $27 to $32, in over 600 pounds, $30 to $34. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels of gilt to cut your buying points were weak, with moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $28 to $34. Packer receipts for barrels of gilt to total 25,261. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at 105 to 110, and on a dress basis at 168 to 172. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 105 to 110, and on a dress basis at 168 to 172. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was stoush with 281 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $69.34, which is $1.18 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcass were trading lower. Choice carcass 207.54, which is $3.13 lower, while select carcass 197.93, which is $1.66 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 116,000 compared to 120,000 last week and zero for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 451,000 compared to 483,000 last week and zero for 1 year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show. It's coming up on 19 minutes after 6. Part one of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by Pros Drainage. Partly cloudy skies at the Weather Center. Right now we have a temperature of 27 degrees. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by the CNB Bank and Trust with 17 locations to serve you, and by Stein Seed. Now with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And now in Ag News here on your Monday morning, ethanol booster and Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the COVID relief package is a win for biofuels despite leaving it up to the Ag Secretary to trigger producer aid. Grassley and junior Iowa GOP Senator Joni Ernst lobbied Secretary Sonny Perdue for 6 months to use earlier COVID relief aid for impacted biofuel producers, but to no avail.
The secretary kept telling us he didn't have the authority to do it. And we said, yes, you do, but he didn't agree. So this makes very clear he has the authority to do it.
The relief package, now under a veto threat by President Trump, makes renewable fuel producers eligible to receive emergency relief, but leaves the final decision up to the Ag Secretary.
Does it guarantee that there will be any help? Maybe not under a Perdue, but I'll bet there will be under a Vilsack.
He's referring to Biden USDA nominee and former Obama USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, a former Iowa governor. The pandemic has ravaged the ethanol industry, causing nearly $4 billion in estimated losses from reduced fuel demand. That's amounting to about 700 million bushel of corn. Now moving on into livestock news. As of December 1st, U.S. farms contained 77.5 million hogs and pigs. That's down 1% from December of last year and down 1% from September of this year. Those numbers were published last week by the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service. Of the 77.5 million hogs, 71.2 were market hogs, while 6.28 million were kept for breeding. Between September and November of this year, 35 million pigs were weaned on U.S. farms, down 1% from the same period last year, while U.S. hog producers weaned an average of 11 hogs a litter. Hog producers intend to have 3.12 million sows farrow between December and February, and 3.12 sows farrow between March and May of next year. Iowa producers held the largest inventory amount of the states at 24.8 million head. Minnesota was next with 9.4, and North Carolina third with 9 million. To get the most accurate measurement possible of the U.S. wine industry, NAS surveyed more than 6,000 producers across the country through the first half of December. And now taking a look at Illinois hog numbers. Inventory of all hogs and pigs as of December 1st in Illinois was 5.45 million head, up 1% from September 1st, 2020, but unchanged from last year. Breeding inventory at 570,000 head is down 10,000 head from the previous quarter and down 20,000 from last year. Market hog inventory at 4.88 million head, that's up 1% from last quarter and slightly higher from last year. The September through November 2020 pig crop at 3.19 million head is up 4% from 2019. Sows farrowing during this period totaled 295,000 head, up 15,000 from last year, and the average pigs per litter was 10.8 for the September to November period, compared to 10.95 last year. Moving on to the latest grain news, China imported a record amount of corn in November, giving rise to optimism that prices may be getting into their longest rally since 1988. Pro Farmer says China bought 12 times more corn last month than in 2019. Customs data shows that for the first 11 months of this year, imports more than doubled to 9 million tons, passing China's World Trade Organization commitment of 7.2 million tons for the first time in history. The surge in corn imports pushed the overall Chinese grain price higher. An official with the Chinese Ag Ministry says the southeastern Asian country has boosted imports of other feed grains like barley and dried distillers grains to help narrow the supply gap. Higher prices are likely to give farmers the incentive to increase their corn planting next year, ensuring farmers have basic self-sufficiency. China imported 1.3 million tons of corn in November, up 113% from November of last year, while imports for the year totaled 9.04 million tons through November. That's up 122.7% from the same time last year. And China's soybean imports are expected to be a record high, according to Reuters. The nation is expected to import more than 100 million metric tons of soybeans this year, as the nation looks to rebuild its hog herd, boosting demand for soybeans. An executive with China's state-owned grains trader, COFCO, told Reuters the country is expected to crush 92.6 million metric tons of beans this year. The record follows declines in demand stemming from African swine fever, which decimated China's hog population. Chinese officials claim the country's hog herd has recovered to more than 90% of normal levels, though that data has some analysts skeptical. Still, China expects the demand for protein, specifically soybeans, for animal feed to remain strong into the first 3 months of next year. For 2020, demand for bean oil is expected to increase by more than 6% as well, thanks to the increased use of the oil in biodiesel and in animal feeds. Amid the trade war and the coronavirus pandemic, this year has provided a challenging year for farmers. However, there are some bright spots. One of those bright spots includes government payments to farmers that surged to record numbers under the Trump administration. According to Rodney Weinzierl, executive director of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, one prominent bright spot was the United States, Canada, and Mexico trade deal.
A lot of what we would view as big accomplishments are things that help us on the demand side. And to start is the passage of the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian agreement is really important. I cannot understate the importance that Mexico is to U.S. agriculture as an importer of corn, soybeans, pork, beef, a whole host of products. That really, Mexico by far is our biggest market for corn and corn products. Canada is a big importer and customer of corn, ethanol, distiller dried grains, and solubles. So that passage of that agreement and creating kind of certainty with our two big trading partners was really, really important for the next decade and probably the next generation of farmers. especially around corn and beans and livestock.
Weinzierl said another stride for farmers in the past year was waterway improvements on the Mississippi and Illinois River. And in other ag news, as it relates to precision agriculture, ag retailers are increasingly adopting digital solutions to improve their operational efficiency and enhance customers' overall service experience. GrowMark FS is expanding its partnership with Salinftech. Salinftech is a Brazilian company with 13 years of experience developing digital ag solutions for the largest ag operations in the world on more than 22 million acres of row crops, sugarcane, coffee, and citrus. By marrying logistics, analytics, and real-time weather data with algorithms, Salinftech significantly increases partners' machinery and input use efficiency, improving crop yield and reducing environmental impact. To explain more on the expanding partnership with Salinftech, we'll join Nokomis native Lance Rupert, GrowMark's Director of Agronomy Marketing Technology.
Salinftech's a Brazilian company that we were introduced to almost 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years ago this coming February. And what was a curiosity to me at that time was, you know, our FS member companies and retail organizations, you know, have a lot of equipment and a lot of people running those pieces of equipment. And Salinftech was a company that we thought could potentially help us become more efficient with those pieces of equipment so we could get over more acres in a day and, you know, service our customers at a higher level. So we worked with a handful of member companies to collect data initially so Salinftech could, you know, understand how they did their business, how they serviced their customers through operations, getting everything sprayed and fertilizer applied. And they're a pretty sophisticated tech company with artificial intelligence and, you know, ran the data and saw, you know, certain parameters that they thought we could, you know, improve upon to be more efficient. And then they built a, you know, a software solution to help us manage our fleet at a higher level. So, you know, just to get across more acres per day and to do a better job of executing on those acres as well.
Lance further breaks down the technology, explaining that GPS is the backbone of the system, but explains that artificial intelligence is what really does the job.
What the AI really comes into is, you know, today an FS company might have, you know, orders to, you know, let's say apply a herbicide to a dozen fields, you know, in a day. Today it's a manual process done by people, of course. You know, kind of the way they lay out the day and how they travel and things like that. What they've done to help, you know, one area to be more efficient is they take all those fields into account and they let algorithms and artificial intelligence tell us first, you know, what would be the best path for the day to cover the least amount of miles and to cover the fields that are on the schedule most efficiently. After the artificial intelligence, the computer kind of spits out potentially the quote-unquote right answer. You know, they also allow people to say, well, we need to tweak this or tweak that. So it's a little bit of a combination between AI and, you know, algorithms helping us make better decisions potentially without bias or things that just the human eye can't see. But then they also allow humans to interact with it. You know, because there's always cases where things need to be tweaked due to other circumstances.
Lance also explains that this will ultimately save time with the new technology, which then in turn saves man hours, maintenance costs, fuel costs, and anything else associated with an ag retail business.
Absolutely. A big one for our companies is growers are planting faster and faster and just being able to get across the acres that we need to timely get things done with the ability, again, for growers to plant a lot of acres in a short amount of time. And then with the weather situations we seem to have, you know, those windows for applications, especially in the spring, seem to get tighter and tighter. So the more acres we can get across efficiently every day that we have open to do that, you know, is a benefit to everybody.
And finally, Lance explains the ongoing and upcoming projects for the new year.
I'd say, you know, we're always trying to strive to bring better information and training to our crop specialists to help train them and so they can bring information and value and recommendations to our growers. You know, digital technology, bringing information closer to our customers right at their fingertips, right at their smartphone level is something we've been working on for a couple years, and, you know, we're getting closer and closer to having that ability to really, you know, put information right in the palm of our customers' hands. So those are two big projects we're working on currently as we go into 21.
And again, that's Nokomis native Lance Rupert, GrowMark's Director of Agronomy Marketing Technology. And that'll conclude your Ag News here on a Monday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Monday morning, December 28th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.